Iran's foreign minister is criticizing that letter sent to Iranian negotiators by 47 Republican senators who warned that the deal being worked on with the U.S. could be scrapped by Congress. The foreign minister is quoted saying that the letter is unprecedented and undiplomatic, and that the letter suggests that the U.S. is not trustworthy. A headline in the New York Daily News goes further, asking, is the letter also treasonous? NPR's congressional correspondent Elsa Chang joins us now. And Elsa, we've heard from Iran. What are you hearing might be the impact of this letter on the talks?
Well, the suggestion from Democrats is that it really could have repercussions. You know, even the president yesterday suggested that that might be the case. He said that it was, quote, ironic that some members of Congress want to make common cause with the hardliners in Iran. In other words, the argument is, when Senate Republicans say no deal with the president would have lasting power, they are basically saying do not trust the U.S. in these negotiations. And Democrats are therefore worried the letter only strengthens the resolve of those Iranian leaders who now oppose any deal with the U.S. because they think such a deal wouldn't last.
Well, just to be clear, yesterday your colleague Ron Elving told us that the lawmakers are wrong in their claim. He said the pact the bargainers are working on does not require congressional approval because it's not a treaty. That would require a two-thirds majority Senate vote to be ratified. So what is the thinking about whether the lawmakers are even right?
Well, it's true it's not called a treaty now by the White House. But I think that it's a very good question that lawmakers are raising is, well, then what is a treaty? I think this is all going to be part of a much bigger debate down the road. A lot of Republicans are saying, look, this has all the features of what we would expect in a treaty, and therefore the Senate absolutely must have a role in advising the president before he formally signs off on this. And it begs the question, you know, first of all, everyone grants that not every agreement the U.S. enters into with another country must automatically be called a treaty and bring all the requirements that come with treaties. But then what differentiates a treaty from, say, an executive agreement? That's what the White House is calling this particular potential deal with Iran. What differentiates a treaty from an executive agreement or a memorandum of understanding or a, quote, plan of action? And does the president get to unilaterally call some agreements treaties versus others, which he calls executive agreements? The decision to call this particular potential deal with Iran an executive agreement was very deliberate because it would offer the U.S. greater flexibility. It would theoretically be more rapid to implement. If the U.S. decides Iran isn't holding up its end of the bargain, the U.S. could unilaterally and more swiftly respond. With a treaty, it's a lot more cumbersome to do that. At least that's what I've been told by State Department officials.
Well, also, there's currently a bill before Congress that would allow but not require the House and Senate to vote on an Iranian deal, regardless of what it's called. Where does that bill stand?
So basically, that bill is going through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had previously fast-tracked it to the Senate floor, positioning the Senate to vote on it as soon as today. But Senate Democrats protested vehemently. They had written a letter to him saying that everyone should give at least the White House the courtesy of waiting until after the March 24th deadline for a framework agreement. And the Democrats who signed that letter, many of them had actually supported this current bill, even sponsored the bill. They just thought that they should wait a few more weeks, let at least the March 24th deadline pass. Now, keep in mind, the White House has said it will veto any bill that deals with Iran while these talks continue. So senators who are backing this particular bill need to figure out if they have a veto-proof majority of supporters, meaning 67 votes.
What's the conversation there in Congress, you being our congressional correspondent? 47 Republican senators signed the letter. Are other Republicans worried that it'll blow back on them?
There is some cause for concern. Remember, only seven Republicans didn't sign the letter. And there are basically three camps right now, at least among Republicans I've talked to. There are those who believe that no deal with Iran is trustworthy, and they wouldn't sign off on any deal whatsoever. Then there's a camp that says a deal is only good if it can last for a really, really, really long time, and if the U.S. can get a real guarantee, a substantive guarantee that the deal would last well beyond, say, 10 years. But many who fall into this camp say that kind of guarantee is really hard to get. So that camp is now kind of blending in with the camp of no agreement is possible. And then there are some Republicans who believe a deal might actually be possible, that Iran could actually roll back its nuclear program, even if it meant that the U.S. would have to lift some sanctions.
Well, that's opinion on the deal, but just in the few seconds we have, opinion on the letter. Is it, is sort of the debate strengthening the resolve of those who signed on?
I guess people are getting more entrenched in their views right now. Well, everybody's kind of bracing for the big debate that'll be coming after March 24th, when lawmakers can get really into the different issues and the camps they fall in. But absolutely, I think this letter only strengthened at least the resolve of those Republicans who put their signatures on the letter.
Yeah. NPR's congressional correspondent, Elsa Chang. Elsa, thank you.
You're welcome.